Radio Prague News.
The Social Democrats are to lead a coalition in the Pilsen region, while Anno will head the Olomouc region. The president says the formation of regional coalitions to keep the winners Anno out is a betrayal of voters. And the Czech Republic are aiming to close the points gap in a World Cup qualifier against Azerbaijan on Tuesday night. A coalition of the Social Democrats, the Civic Democrats and two smaller groupings is set to govern the Pilsen region after agreeing a deal on Tuesday. The governor will be Josef Bernard of the Social Democrats. Anno came first in regional elections in Pilsen at the weekend, but were unable to form a coalition. The same scenario had already been seen in the Hradec-Králové and Pardubice regions. However, in the Olomouc region, Anno has been able to form a coalition, also comprising the Social Democrats and the Civic Democrats. Anno chief Andrei Babiš has said his party expects to head coalitions in four of the country's regions, despite coming first in 9 out of 10. And President Miloš Zeman says the formation of regional coalitions to keep the winners Anno out could be interpreted as a betrayal of voters. Communicating through his spokesperson on Tuesday, Mr. Zeman said such moves were unsporting and had given rise to bizarre alliances. The president reiterated his view that the relatively poor showing of the Social Democrats was the fault of the party's leadership at national level. The granddaughter of journalist Ferdinand Perotka has filed an appeal with the Supreme Court over comments made by President Miloš Zeman about him, Czech television reported on Tuesday. Terezia Kaslova wants the court to order the office of the president to apologise for attributing to Perotka the statement, "If we can't sing with angels, we must howl with wolves." Historians say the reference to the Nazis was made by a different journalist. The office of the president was previously ordered to apologise after Mr. Zeman accused Perotka of penning an article entitled "Hitler is a Gentleman," but appealed the ruling. The Prague Municipal Court has refused to hold a retrial of influential Prague businessman Roman Janošek, who's serving a 4.5-year term for hit and run. The judge said Mr. Janošek's lawyers had not produced any fresh evidence that could impact his sentence. The entrepreneur is currently on release from prison due to health difficulties. Mr. Janošek was found guilty of a hit and run incident in 2012. Wiretaps in the Czech media gave the impression that he had held considerable influence over politicians in the capital. The Czech national soccer team are preparing for a World Cup qualifier against Azerbaijan in Ostrava on Tuesday night. The Czechs have only 1 point from their first two games in their campaign to reach Russia in 2 years' time. And coach Karel Jarolím says he believes his players won't allow the gap between them and group leaders Germany and Azerbaijan, both of whom are on 6 points, to widen. The weather, it should be cloudy and wet in the Czech Republic on Wednesday, with temperatures of up to 8 degrees Celsius expected. Forecasters say it'll gradually get warmer during the week, with daytime highs of around 13 degrees Celsius due at the weekend. My name is Ian Willoughby, and that's the end of the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Ruth Franková. Coming up in today's programme, an abandoned property in Prague's Žižkov, adapted by squatters into a cultural centre, has been sold off by the state to the Railway Infrastructure Administration. A new compilation of recordings by the famous Karel Vlach Orchestra has just been released. And later on in the programme, we talk to Petr Novák, an expert in low-cost travelling. All that coming up, so please stay with us. An abandoned property in Prague's Žižkov, adapted by squatters into a cultural and education centre, has been sold off by the state to the Railway Infrastructure Administration. The change of ownership raises the possibility that the current residents could face eviction. Dominik Yun has more.
The modest-sized building in Prague's Žižkov district used to be a lung clinic before being abandoned by the Czech state in 2009, presumably to face either renovation or demolition. But in 2014, squatters took over the site, cleaned it up and set up the Klinika, a self-described autonomous cultural and social centre. Klinika has been offering an array of daily cultural events ever since, such as theatre performances and debates, refugee support events, and free-for-all education services such as German for Beginners, with volunteers serving as teachers. But now the centre faces an uncertain future in light of the sell-off of the building in early October to the Railway Infrastructure Administration. Jan Trnka is a member of the Klinika Collective. He expressed his surprise at the sale.
Without any kind of negotiation, without any kind of agreement on selling or not the building, they transferred it to the railway administration. And we don't really understand why this happened. We are not entirely sure that the railway administration really needs the building, and we'll try to figure out how we could maybe negotiate with the railway administration to stay in the building.
Klinika has faced considerable hostility from certain Prague authorities. Attempts by police, such as in May of this year, to have the centre evicted were thwarted by the efforts of well-organised activists who have rallied support among the public, NGOs and even some politicians, such as Green Party former deputy Prague mayor Matej Stropnický. Jan Trnka explains.
In addition to all these sort of celebrities and politicians, we feel that the support of ordinary people of Prague and outside of Prague is more important for the project, because we have a huge number of supporters from all over the country and even abroad. And that's something that's really giving us the energy to fight for the building, to fight for the project.
In 2015, the centre even managed to secure a legal tenant agreement, but this expired in March 2016. Since then, Klinika has faced, quote, bomb threats, resulting in attempts by the police to again evacuate the site. Jan Trnka says the matter is now before the courts.
There is a court case running with the state, where basically the court is going to decide whether the termination of the lease was legal or illegal. So that's one legal avenue that we're taking, and we're trying to basically assert our at least moral right to stay in the building.
In early October, it emerged that the Railway Infrastructure Administration had secured the building from the state. The state firm says it intends to undertake reconstruction and then move in its employees. But in spite of heavy fines amounting to more than 150,000 crowns, or around 5,500 euros, and growing legal costs, some covered thanks to donations by supporters, the activists at Klinika appear determined to stay put and to preserve what they believe is a unique service in the Czech capital. Meanwhile, Prague 3 authorities have called on the occupants of Klinika to end their, quote, illegal occupation and to respect the wishes of its new owners. Meanwhile, Jan Trnka declined to elaborate on what might happen if Klinika is ultimately forced out of the site.
Dominic Yoon with that report. Now, fans of Czech swing and jazz will no doubt be thrilled to learn about the new release of a new 14-CD box set compiling a decade of recordings by the famous Karel Vlach Orchestra from 1939 to 1949. The set features almost 350 studio tracks from the orchestra credited with popularizing swing in Czechoslovakia. Jan Velinger has the details.
It's a fact that many music collectors have long given up on CDs, opting to dump the aged format and instead download music online. But there's one case they may want to make an exception, if they're fans of swing and jazz, and especially the Karel Vlach Orchestra. On the occasion of what would have been the band leader's 105th birthday just recently, music publisher Tomáš Padevět released a whopping 14-CD box set that covering the first 10 years of the orchestra's existence. Here's what he had to say.
I was approached by collectors who had gathered recordings from classic vinyl records. It's thanks to them that we were able to put it all together.
And one of the collectors who also appeared at the event told Czech TV how he had compiled material by the Karel Vlach Orchestra over the years.
I can't say that I bought all those records. Often they were given to me in exchange for something else. In truth, I was always more focused on music abroad. On the other hand, I can say that without a doubt, Karel Vlach Orchestra was one of the best bands we ever had.
And singer and musician Ondřej Havelka, who made swing big again in the 1990s and into the new millennium with the Melody Makers, describes just how important Karel Vlach's contribution was.
This
was the first orchestra which really brought swing to Prague. Vlach was a great band leader who insisted on his musicians listening to American bands to achieve the kind of expression and phrasing which he sought.
One of those at the recent launch of the new box set was also the famous and outspoken opera singer and actress Sonja Červená, who was in her 20s when she got her start as an actress in the Czech adaptation of the 1948 U.S. Broadway musical Finian's Rainbow, known as Givotvorný hrnec in Czech. And she remembered the band leader Karel Vlach fondly.
He was my first conductor. I was still a young pup, but it was wonderful. He was very gracious and fair-spoken, and we understood each other very well. It was really nice.
And one of her most famous recordings from the start of her career, U nás doma, that's How Are Things in Glaucomora, from the musical mentioned, and you'll hear a bit of it here.
Možná, že mi z mém trápení odpověď dáš. Křivánku náš v nebi zahořel, leď ještě...
Jan Wellinger with that report. Just a reminder that you are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. For most people, a foreign vacation means extra expenses as well as a lot of planning ahead. But Petr Novák, an expert in low-cost travelling or so-called travel hacking, has managed to travel the world for a bargain. His cheapest journey so far was a 1 crown return flight to Bulgaria. Petr Novák runs courses for people interested in low-cost travel, and together with his friend he recently published a book called The Travel Bible, summarizing their traveling tips. I met with Petr Novák just shortly before he set off on another journey, and I asked him to tell me more about the so-called travel hacking.
Well, travel hacking means in different parts of the world a little bit different thing. It starts in the United States, in America, and it was connected firstly with getting free flight tickets, which are connected with miles. It's quite easy to collect miles and travel for miles in the United States. In Europe, it's very different, so it's more about searching for some airfares and cheap flight tickets, so promotions and these things. Then, of course, it's about saving expenses on the road, on accommodation, food, and other things.
So basically it is about cutting the costs of traveling as much as possible.
Yeah, cutting the costs as much as possible so you can stay on the road longer.
What are your first experiences with travel hacking?
Well, first experience was a few years ago when I bought my first flight for a really good price. It was like 1 Czech crown to Bulgaria. I just find out it's quite easy to find cheap flights, and it caught my attention, so I start searching for cheap flights and for more things about travel hacking, and I like it.
How is it possible to travel for 1 crown anywhere? It seems impossible to me.
Well, it seems impossible, but there is quite a lot of promotions, especially in low-cost airlines industry, and this was SkyEurope, Slovakian Airlines, and they were offering really, really cheap flights for 1 crown. You can still find, I don't know, for 1 euro flight. Sometimes it's a promotion, especially in Poland, where it's quite easy and there are very good price flights from Poland.
From what you are saying, it seems that travel hacking is mainly for people who are single, who are not fully employed, who don't have family, so they are free to decide about their own time. Would you agree with me?
Well, of course, it's easier for people who are freelancers and who can work from any part of the world. But still, even if you are an employee or you got kids, it's possible to make the journey cheaper. For example, my wife is an employee and we are planning some long journey and she get like 7 months off the work.
How much time do you actually spend on the road on average?
Well, it's hard to say on average, but last year we visited 16 countries and somewhere we spent a few weeks, somewhere just a few days for a weekend only. And this year it's going to be quite different for us. So we are planning like 5 months on the road and it will be slow travel.
What exactly does it mean, slow travel?
It means that we will spend like a month in a country at least, so we can explore more the culture, because when you are traveling it's very different when you visit a country for, I don't know, 2 weeks or you spend a few months there. So this is a slow travel.
If you don't mind me asking, what do you actually make for living and when do you actually work when you travel so much?
Well, I'm basically a web designer and coder, so I make websites and I can do it from any part of the world. And it's just quite an easy way because you find a place with a good internet connection and that's everything. Yeah? So I'm working on the road and we spent a few days on one place so I can focus on the work and then we can continue.
Do you have to give up luxury if you want to do travel hacking?
Yes and no. Nice thing about travel hacking is that you can find luxury things for a really good price. It might be like cheap accommodation in 4-star hotel because there is some error in the booking system. You can buy a business class flight ticket for a price as a regular economy class because there is some error. So you can get luxury things for normal prices. And of course, on the other side, it's also about not being afraid to try new things and, of course, getting a bit discomfort.
How long do you actually spend planning your trips? How much time do you have to plan ahead?
It depends if the journey gonna be long or short. If it's just few days in Europe, I'm not planning it at all. I just find cheap ticket. It's quite easy and you don't need to spend so much time searching for cheap flights in Europe. If it's longer journey, I can spend hours or days on searching. The good thing is that there is like 200 countries in the world and I think it's nice to visit most of them. So if there is some good price ticket or promotion to a country I haven't been at yet, it's good opportunity to buy the ticket. If I am available at the days, we can go there. So searching for a ticket, I spent few hours a day, but it's because I like it.
You've become such an expert on travel hacking that you even started courses for people where you offer advice on how to start with this kind of traveling. Who attends your courses? What kind of people?
Well, mostly it's young people who are willing to travel and searching for some opportunities. But even older people who decided to travel more, and they are getting some experience from the course. And even people from travel industry sometimes shows up and trying to find some options for them and for their clients.
You recently also published a book, Travel Bible, together with your colleague. And again, it's a summary of your advice on how to travel and how to cut the travel costs. Can you summarize the main advice that you would give to people who want to start with travel hacking?
The book is divided into three parts and it starts with the basic things like why you should travel and how to prepare for the journey. If you want to spend a few months on the road, it's necessary to solve out things at the home. Of course, how to find cheap flight tickets, how to find accommodation, all these things. And the second part is about how to cut the cost on the road. So it's mostly about the food, accommodation and expenses on the road you've got. And third part is what you can do after the travel when you get back, because there are still some options. You can make money from your experience you get on the road. We've got quite a big part in the book about the digital nomads, and we are also covering some luxury travel, so how to find affordable luxury travel.
What would be the one single thing that you would tell people if they want to start with travel hacking? Is it the fact that they have to sort of be able to improvise?
Well, improvising is good, but I think the most important thing is to be open to new ways how to travel and don't be afraid of the world, because the world is quite a safe place for traveling and there is a bunch of travelers on the road all the time, so when you get on the road, it's going to happen.
You said that the book actually starts with explaining why it is good for people to travel. So what's so good about traveling?
Well, traveling is good because you start learning and you get out of your comfort zone. You learn lots of about the history, you met different kind of people and you got totally different point of view on the world, on other countries. And I think it now is like the best time for traveling because it's affordable and it's quite cheap. So there's nothing to wait for.
You have already mentioned that one of your cheapest flights ever was the 1 crown flight ticket to Bulgaria. But what else would you mention as your biggest success in travel hacking?
One of the biggest successes was definitely getting to Hawaii for 4,500 crowns. And it was a couple of years ago. One bank offered quite a lot of miles when you get some credit card from them and spend only 5,000 in 1 month on the credit card. And you were able to get to the countries like United States or Mexico. And the good thing was that in Czech Airlines, it was with the program of Czech Airlines, the mileage program, they didn't separate Hawaii from United States. And when you are traveling for miles, you have to pay the airport taxes. So it still costs something, but we find a way through Seoul, because Seoul airport is very cheap and Hawaii airports are as well cheap. So it costs like 4,500 crowns, and I think it's quite good.
Finally, what are your plans for the nearest future?
Well, as I mentioned, we are living for like 5 months to Southeast Asia. So we will first start in Thailand, move to Laos, then from Laos to Vietnam, and then fly to Philippines, and from Philippines to Indonesia. So this is like a basic plan, and we will see how it's going to work on the road, because it might change. 5 months is quite a long time, so we'll see.
Petr Novák, an expert in low-cost travelling, was my guest in that edition of In Focus, which was first broadcast in January this year. And that brings us to the end of today's programme here on Radio Prague. If you have any comments about today's programme, then please send them to us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. We'll be glad to hear from you. But that's all for now from me, Ruth Franková. Thank you very much for joining us, and goodbye.